How many of you have the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in you this morning? We can turn the lights back on. We're going to have, you know, God is a God of laughter. God is a God of, he's a humorous God. He likes to have humorous relationships and fun with his people. We go over there in Sunday school, and every Sunday morning we have Sunday school classes. And if you're a parent and you ever want to sit in on your child's Sunday school class, just talk with the teachers. They'd be happy and honored to have you sit in there and see what goes on in Sunday school. And this is the adult Sunday school class. Now, it's a little bit different, but we all are adults, and sometimes we have to just put ourselves back into the minds of children in order to take and understand some of the things. So I'm going to start off this morning, and we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're not going to forget the theme of fire. The title of my message this morning is Living Without Fire. Living Without Fire. Now, when you look at fire and you think about fire, a lot of things can cross a person's mind. I think of fire, and you look in the newspapers as of late, and there's been a lot of forest fires and such going on all over the country. You read out in Utah, there's a huge forest fire. I don't know if they've put it out yet, Brother James. It was still burning as of midweek. And ironically, it was firemen that started it. They had met at their fire station, and they were going to show the new recruits how to do a controlled burn, from what I understand, and it got out of control. And they were too embarrassed to call for help because they're the fire station. And by the time they called for backup, the fire had gotten so far out of control that it had burned, I don't know how many tens of thousands of acres and how many people's homes were destroyed by fire. Now, I heat my house and home with fire, and it's amazing to me that I can take a whole week worth of wood, a whole trailer's worth of wood, and burn it down to a little 1.5 gallon bucket. You look at all of that wood, and you start it on fire, and it burns and burns, and it keeps the house warm. But see, it's a controlled fire. I don't go in there and set the kitchen cabinets on fire and say, okay, hon, the kitchen's burning. In a few hours, the house is going to be warm. We'll open up the doors, let the smoke out, and it'll be warm in here. No, we have a fireplace that controls the fire. So you have fire that can burn out of control, as in a forest fire or a house fire. How many of you have ever been in a house fire? Was it a pleasant experience? Is it something you would say you would want to do over again? How many of you ever sat around a campfire? Those of you that had a house, your house fire, how many of you sat around a campfire and roasted marshmallows and made s'mores? Would you want to do that again? Well, it's fire. Am I right? But you see, it's in a very different application. One is a controlled fire. You have a fire ring and you make sure that everything is all within the safety limits. And then you have a fire that's burning out of control. What are some of the things that fire that we can use fire for? I began to think about this. And you know, just about everything we have today requires fire. If you want steel for your automobile, you have to have fire to take that earth, that steel, that iron ore that's up in Iron Mountain, up in Upper Michigan in that area, and they take that and they take that iron ore and they heat it up and they make it into taconite pellets and they ship that to the rail through the rail yards and they ship it to the steel mills and they take that those it used to be just dirt, soil, hard iron ore, rock, and they heat it up intensely and now it becomes liquid iron. They add other different things to it to get different types of steel and all of this kind of stuff. And we have cars. You think about silver. How do we get silver? Is silver just mined? The way that, I mean, how do we get the silver from the mine into the coin? It has to be heated with fire. It has to have immense amounts of heat. How do we get gold? The same way. You think about the world. You think about the universe. You think about the earth itself is full of fire. The center core of our earth. Those of you that failed your geology lesson, The center core of the earth is actually molten fire, molten lava, some 15,000 plus degrees boiling away at the center of this earth. And that's where the volcanoes come from. There's cracks and fissures in the earth, and that liquid magma that's inside the earth begins to flood out under immense pressure, and it pushes out through, and it flows out as lava. I have a knife at home that was made by the Inuit tribe in Alaska. I believe that was a tribe that made it, and they've been making these knives this way for thousands and thousands of years. But it's molten. They call it incidium. And incidium is actually melted sand and minerals that are found along the beaches, and that lava would flow down and melt the sand. It was so hot that you could melt sand. That's how we get glass. That's where our glass comes from. It's melted silica sand. You get sand so hot, it becomes liquid. Now, that's heat. How many of you had breakfast this morning? How many of you had bacon and eggs? How many of you would like a nice bacon and egg sandwich this morning? Would anybody like some bacon and egg? Now, I have up here,
I have some Hormel bacon. So we're going to make up a bacon sandwich. Now, I want to do my best to do this as quickly as I can because we do have a time constraint this morning, and I should have opened up my bacon ahead of time, but I'm sorry about that. Who wants the bacon sandwich? You want to come on up here? I'll quick make you up one. I got a bun here. We're going to open that up, and I got some bacon here, and we'll put that on it. And then eggs. Oh, you love eggs. How many of you like eggs? We'll take and we'll crack an egg, and we'll put an egg on that sandwich. We'll put it together. How many of you want the bacon egg sandwich? What does it need? It needs fire. Yeah. How many of you have gone in and you probably would prefer it this way, wouldn't you? Something like this. Yeah. You see, now, that's just to show you how crucial and important fire really is in our lives. We can't live without fire. The universe itself, Brother Hawk, is on fire. When God created the heavens, what are the stars made of? What is the stars made of? When you look up into the skies at night and the stars come out, the stars are nothing more than a huge, massive ball of fire. In fact, the sun, I looked this up, the interior of the sun is some 15 to 30 million degrees Celsius. It's so hot that helium and hydrogen fuse together and it causes massive amounts of explosions. Fire. We can't live without fire. I have an apple down there, and you say, well, you know, you can eat an apple raw, but you can't plant and can't grow the tree unless you have fire. You see, apples grow real good around here, but they don't grow real good in Antarctica. Why? Because there's not enough fire in Antarctica. There's not enough fire. We have to have fire. We have to have fire that's living within us. We have to have the Holy Ghost and fire living within us. You see, the Holy Ghost, the earth is so full of fire. Everywhere you go and everywhere you look, there's fire. It's all around us. We got here today. How many of you got here via automobile or bus? How many of you rode your bike? We have a couple motorcycles. There you go. Motorbikes. How many of you got here via combustion engine? We all got here. What's inside of that engine that makes it work? Fire. You have to have fire. The earth is full of fire. When you look into the Bible contains over 500 references to fire. And those references link it directly to God some 90 times. God in action is like a burning fire. He created the universe, and the universe is on fire. The sun burns some
thousands and thousands and thousands of degrees, and the heat from that fire radiates to the earth, and the earth is a recipient of the fire that God placed in the sky, and that fire is it burns until God tells it not to burn anymore. It's going to burn, and it's going to give us life. The reason we have life here on earth is because we have the right amount of fire. The reason there's no life on Pluto is because there isn't enough fire. Fire. Throughout the scripture, the fire of God comes both to purge and to cleanse and to bless. When Moses saw the burning bush, God first warned him that he was standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes, Moses, you're on holy ground. And then he told him of the great things he was going to do through him to release the children of Israel from captivity. That's found in Exodus chapter 3. We can go on and we read the story about Isaiah, who was in the temple, and he saw it filled with smoke of the burning and the holiness of God. The temple was so full of God's presence, it appeared like a haze and a smoke. Oh, how I long to feel the power of the Holy Ghost, to feel the power, the presence of the Almighty God. Fire is one of God's essential characteristics. The Lord your God is a consuming fire in Deuteronomy 4:24. Ezekiel often uses the language of fire to talk about God. In Ezekiel 22:31, New English Version, he says, I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger and bring down their own heads. All they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. It talks about a consuming fire. His anger sometimes is related to fire. We can look at fire, and sometimes fire has this angry look to it when it's out of control. Fire. Isaiah 33:14 states, that is God. Can you take it? Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Who indeed? Who can dwell among us? He continues to speak God's consuming anger against wickedness, God being a devouring fire. We read it over and over in the Old Testament that God becomes a devouring fire to devour the enemies of Israel. Fire. He continues on. We heard the song about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. We're going to talk about this for just a few minutes. Elijah was a prophet of God. And I love Elijah. I love reading about him. I love his life. I love who he was and who he stands for. He was a man that was standing against all odds. He was standing against the crowd. The rest of Israel had gone one way, following after idolatry and following the wicked King Ahab and the Queen Jezebel. And here's Elijah all by himself, just him alone, nothing, no one else around him to give him support, save the fire of God that was dwelling in and around him. One man alone. Israel had strayed away from God. They were trying to serve the prophet Baal, or the god Baal. Now Baal, if you read in historical accounts, Baal was the god of all kinds of things. He was related sometimes to the god of fertility, and he was just kind of an all-purpose god. But one of the things he was also noted for was he was the god of fire. When they wanted rain, he was a god of rain. When they wanted their crops blessed and such, you know, they would pray to the god Baal. And when they wanted their enemies subdued, they would pray down fire. God or Baal, bring down the fire. So it's ironic in this whole situation that Elijah that day decides to challenge their god of fire with fire. If your god is who he says he is, and we're in a Sunday school class right now, if you can just imagine. We did this as a skit a number of years ago. And we're going to kind of redo it a little bit this morning. But you have Elijah there. And he challenges all of Israel. He says, I want to meet you up on the mountainside. I want you to bring all your prophets. Bring everything you got. Because we're going to have a showdown. I want to prove to you, and I want to show to you this day who the true God of of Israel is. And they gather up there, and they each had their sacrifice book. They had all of their wood. They had everything they need. And Elijah, being the gentleman he was, he says, I'll let you, prophets of Baal, go first. So they prepare their altar, and they put the wood on it, and they slay the bullock, and they lay the bullock on the altar, and they start praying. And they start praying. And I can see as they're praying and they're chanting, and they're going, Baal, Baal, he's our man. If he can't do it, no God can. And they're just chanting away. Can you do that with me? It's very simple. Baal, Baal, he's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. Your kids would do it. Baal, Baal, don't you go. Send down the fire and the holy smoke. And they're just chanting and chanting, Baal, Baal, you're no joke. Send us down some holy smoke. And on they go. And they chant and they chant and they chant. For hours this goes on. You're a really dull Sunday school class this morning. The kids really enjoyed that. Baal, Baal, you're no liar. Send us down that burning fire. And they chanted and they chanted and they screamed and they hollered and it went on and the dust rose. And Elijah's sitting over there underneath the tree. And he's humored by all of this. He gets up and he says, hold it a minute. Hold it a minute. I got to ask you something. Maybe your God is on vacation. Maybe he has an ear infection and he can't hear you. So if he's on vacation or he can't hear you, maybe you better scream a little bit louder. So, oh man, they cut loose. Baal, Baal, he's our man. If he can't do it, no God can. And they went on and on and on and on. And Elijah sat over there like Brother James Hawk, just laughing at what was going on. Can you imagine 450 dignified prophets of Baal chanting out, Baal, Baal, he's our man. If he can't do it, no God can. And they thought, maybe we're not saying it right. Maybe we need to put more emphasis on the Baal. Baal, Baal. And nothing happened. Finally, Elijah, maybe he likes to see a little bit of blood. So they pull out their knives and they start cutting themselves. And now there's blood flying all over. Looks like a slaughterhouse with a whole bunch of chanting going on. Finally, Elijah says, you know what? I've had enough of this. I've had enough. I've seen enough. I've had enough. Looking at the sun's getting ready to set in the sky. It's my turn. So he tells all the prophets of Baal, go sit down and rest. Have a little water. Calm yourselves down a little bit. And let's just see what Jehovah, let's see what Jehovah can do. So Elijah prepares the altar. He prepares it precisely as how God instructed him. He dug a trench around the altar. He took 12 stones, one from every tribe of Israel, and he laid the stones neatly, formed the altar. He took the bullock, and he slew the bullock, and he cut it into pieces, and he laid it upon the altar. They were in the midst of a three-year famine, hadn't rained in 3 years. And he says, I want you to bring me some water. So they bring him some pots of water, and he pours the water all over the bullock. And the water mixed with the blood, and it runs down over the wood. He says, bring me some more water. And they bring him some more water. And the Bible says that he poured the water, and it totally saturated and soaked up the bullock. It soaked up the wood, and it went into, and it filled the trench that he had dug around it. Now, if you know anything about fire, the enemy of fire is water. We use water to put out the fire. A wet blanket will put out a fire. He soaked that sacrifice. Now I can just imagine as everybody looked at him and all those prophets began to watch. This guy's not only dumb, stupidity is not far behind him. He just made it so much harder for himself But you see, Elijah knew something that they didn't know. Elijah had a relationship with a God that they didn't have. They had walked away from that God. They had decided they were going to do their own thing and they were going to serve their own gods. We hear today, we got the same problem. A lot of us is wanting to serve our own gods. And we walk away and we say, you know what? Maybe it's over here. Maybe it's over there. Maybe if I go through this door, I go through that door, I'll be able to take and find some other God that maybe requires less of me. But Elijah knew his God, and he knew the power and the authority that his God had. And I can imagine Elijah as he got ready to present the sacrifice to God. He knew what was going to happen. He got back a safe distance. And he raised up his hands and he said, Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And I can just imagine in my mind that the earth-shattering split of thunder seared through the atmosphere as lightning sears through in a thunderstorm. And you can hear the searing of the fire as it began to burn down from heaven. And it came down and it hit the ground with that explosion. And it hit the ground and it had so much power. It had so much authority behind it that it consumed the bullock. It burned it up. Not only did it burn up the bullock, the rocks that were placed there, it consumed the rocks. It consumed the wood. It consumed the water. It consumed the dirt in and around the altar. It was all consumed. Boom! It was gone. That's fire, my friend. That's fire. And I can imagine, if you can imagine, what it would have been like to be there that day. Oh, God proved to his people and God proved to his prophet that there can only be one God of fire. One God. He controls the heavens. He controls the earth. It's all his. He is the God of fire. No one is going to take his place. Ain't no other God going to come in and say, I'm the God of fire. Move over, Jehovah. He's like, it's mine. Fire. We find in the New Testament, John the Baptist. I love reading about John the Baptist. If you've never read about him, he's a weird guy. The Bible says that he ran around in camel skins and he ate honey and locusts. Now, I don't know about you, but I can imagine John the Baptist with a big old scruffy beard and he's got locust body parts stuck in it and honey all smeared around, but he's got a passion and he's got a fervor. And that passion and that fervor equates to anointed fire that was upon him. John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh, there's someone that's going to come after me that is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and with fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. What a combination. What a combination.
salvation. Jesus Christ arrived on the scene. He had power and he had authority that was like no other. He went around, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he gave sight to the blind, he healed the deaf ears, and he caused the dumb to speak. The lepers were cleansed, the lame could walk. But all of that runs pale compared to the greatest miracle for all humanity, the giving of his life for the sake of ours. You see, he was born in Bethlehem, lived most of his life in and around Judea, and he was crucified in Jerusalem. He didn't even have a tomb of his own. He was in a borrowed tomb. Somebody had to loan him a tomb. I love that. They loaned him a tomb. Now you think about that. He was in a borrowed tomb. You borrow my car, what does that mean? I'm going to get it back. You borrow a tomb, why do you borrow a tomb? Because I ain't going to be there very long. Why pay for a tomb if I'm only going to use it for a few days? I love that. He borrowed a tomb. During that 3 days when he was crucified, he ascended into hell. The Bible talks about that. You can look that up. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He went down into the enemy, Satan's domain. And he said, listen, Satan, listen, there's some things here that we're going to get straight. Fire is not your domain. Fire is mine. I created the sun. I created the atmospheres. I created all of this. Fire is mine. I want fire. I've got a better purpose for it. I want the keys to death because I'm overcoming death. I want the keys to the grave because I'm walking out of here with all three of them.
We know the Easter story. 3 days later, what happened? He came out. He came out of that grave. He came out of that grave with all the power and all the authority. And I love what happens after this. He told his followers. Now, I'm paraphrasing a lot of this. I hope you understand that. But he told his followers that were with him as he ascended into heaven. That some 500 people were there that day. And he said, you know what? I can see him telling them, today, right now, I'm with you. I'm with you. But you know what? I'm going to leave. I'm going to ascend up into the heavens. You're going to watch me go up into the heavens, and I'm going to disappear. And the reason that I'm disappearing is because soon I'm with you. I'm going to leave you. But in a few days hence, just a few days from now, I'm going to be in you. I'm going to be in you. That Holy Ghost and that power and that authority that Jesus Christ had, that when he ascended, he said, you know what? I'm going to send it back, Brother James. I'm going to send it back. You go back to Jerusalem. You go back to the upper room. You go back to the temple. And you start to pray. And you start to pray until you're endued with fire. Until power comes. Until power. They didn't know what they were praying for. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they went back in faith. And they knew that something was going to happen. And I love reading the second chapter of the book of Acts. And we're going to close here shortly. So if our musicians and such can come, the service isn't over yet. If you are here tonight and you have not received the power of the Holy Ghost, or the power of the Holy Ghost, maybe you've received it. And it's in your life. And instead of a raging, roaring fire, it's just a little tiny, tiny candle that's flickering, that barely has enough oxygen to survive. The service is for you. It's for you. Let's stand. And I want you to preach this with me. We got a lot of preachers in this audience. And we're going to preach the Word of God for the next minute or two. The Holy Ghost. I can see as they begin to pray in the upper room, disciples that some 50 days earlier couldn't stay up all night with them and pray in the garden, all of a sudden
They're praying. And they're not praying for one day or 2 days or 3 days, but they're in there and they keep praying and they keep pushing and they keep pushing and they're praying and they're taking all of their problems, they're taking all their circumstances, they're taking all their situations, they're taking all the things, all the crud that's built up in their lives, and they're laying it all down and they keep praying and they're repenting and they're asking God to come down and to dwell in their midst and to dwell with them and to give them the power and the authority. But they didn't stop. They kept praying and they kept praying and they kept praying, and 10 full days later, 10 days later, Acts 2:1, I'm going to start to read. You don't have to, you can go ahead and put it on your overhead then. And then the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And now, when this was noised abroad, what happened there in a Holy Ghost-filled service? It ought to be noised abroad when God Himself comes down and puts a fire inside of your heart and inside of your soul. It ought to be noised abroad. There were dwelling devout men, and with this noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded because that every man heard them speak their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are these all that speak? Are these men all Galileans? And how do we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And skipping down to verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this? What's going on here? This is something I've never experienced, I've never felt before." And others mocking them said, "Ho, ho, these men, they're drunk. They're drunk, they're full. They're full of wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, filled up his voice and said unto them. Now remember, this is the same Peter that some 50 days earlier was laying in the face in dirt with tears of bitterness and confusion flowing out of his eyes as he denounced Jesus Christ 3 times. And here he is. "For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the 3rd hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and upon my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out in these days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven, and the sign, wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." And he goes on to preach. And the Bible says that they were pricked in their hearts. Something began to happen inside of them. And they began to look at the fire. They began to look at the passion that Peter had as he began to call them out for what they had done. Going down, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What shall we do? What are we going to do? Tell us. What do I have to do? Tell me. I don't want to spend eternity in hell, Brother James. I don't. I want to walk on streets of gold with Jesus Christ. But you see, the Holy Ghost, and Peter said unto them, "Repent." What's repentance? It means, you know what? I've sinned. I've committed sin against you, Lord.
You know what? I don't care who you are, what you are, what you've done, or what position you've held. Every person has to fall on their knees in repentance. God don't care who you are or what your last name is. You got to fall on your knees in repentance. It all starts with a repentant heart. You don't think Peter had some things he had to get out of his life? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. It's already been bought. It's already been paid for on Calvary. Fire. Fire. Holy Ghost fire.
I got it. I got it. He's got it. He's got it. She's got it. Do you got it? Are you here this morning? Do you have it? Do you have the Holy Ghost and fire burning inside of you? Listen, if you ain't got, honey, you need it. You're not going anywhere without it. You see, the Holy Ghost is so much more than just salvation. So many times we look and we say, I got the Holy Ghost, I'm saved. But the Holy Ghost is it's far, far more reaching than just salvation. The Holy Ghost is what gives me the power. The Holy Ghost is what gives me the authority. It's what gives me that healing power. You want to find out about this? Ask Sister Peggy, who had cancer. Ask Brother Jeff Perkins, who was dead on the highway. Ask Brother Larry, who had lungs full of cancer. The Holy Ghost is for more than salvation. Power over your problems. You're here this morning and you got problems that are far beyond your control. Your life is spiraling out of control and you wonder, how did I get here? You need the power of the Holy Ghost inside. You need that power. Problems in your marriage, problems in your checkbook. You need the Holy Ghost power. You need fire. We need fire. We need Holy Ghost fire. And these altars are open this morning. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, oh, my friend, there's nothing like it. Oh, that saying, it'll blow your socks off and so much more.